Well, a woman ordered something from a mail order company, and several weeks later, she received this response. Thank you for your order. Recent improvements in our shipping procedures may cause a delay in shipping. Does that sound like progress to you? Today, I'm going to talk to you about progress, making progress. We're in a series on the life of Elisha entitled Daring to Follow God's Call. Remember, Elisha dared to leave his established, comfortable life to follow God's call. He dared to follow the leading prophet of his generation in spite of the hardships it would necessitate. He dared to become a voice for God in a nation that was divided and in moral, spiritual decline. He dared to be different when compromised religion was the order of his day. Remember, he dared to ask God for more power. We've learned that learning from his life is not for those who live for the convenient or the status quo or the comfortable. No. Learning from his life is really best suited for people who will be bold and daring and follow his call. And aren't you glad that God is still a God that reaches out to people and calls them and dares them to follow his call? And today, God is going to do that very thing for you. And where you are, if you're satisfied, can't do anything for you. But if you'd say, I want to make progress in my life, then, oh, God has something wonderful for you today. Would you take your Bible and turn with me then to the book of 2 Kings again? This time we will go to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. I'll give you a moment to find it. And then in a few minutes, we will stand and we will read the scriptures together. I'll read aloud. You follow along in your scriptures. All right? Let's stand together, shall we? 2 Kings chapter 6. Follow along as I read the first 7 verses of this chapter. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, remember, the sons of the prophets are those, oh, maybe we'll call them ministerial students, preacher boys, or men who are theologues. They're preparing to one day be prophets. The sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan. And take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. And one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. And so he went with them. And when they came to Jordan, they cut down the wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe had fell into the water. And he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither or there. And the iron did swim. Now, I'm going to preach to you today on the subject, are you making progress? Because in this account, God tells us not just about the miracle of an axe head floating, but he tells us something that is very significant, and that is how God works so that you in your life can make progress. So let's ask God to help us and to speak to us, shall we? So, Lord God, thank you that you are a God that still calls out to people. You take us from where we are and desire to bring us to know the Lord Jesus Christ and his saving power. Make us new creatures in Christ. And then you work on us and work with us so that our lives have significance that is far beyond ourselves, but given over to you for things that matter in time and in eternity. So we ask you, God, as the God that calls out to people to do that very thing again today in a wonderful way that is personal to each individual. And so we ask, oh God, that your Spirit would help And for myself, I pray for a yieldedness to the Holy Spirit, not just to be able to preach with supernatural power, but to receive from you. And for our friends and family that are gathered here on this day, it is our request that you would help us and speak to us, that your Spirit would have freedom, that we might receive from you. And so we ask you for these things, praying it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Well, God begins this passage by telling us about opportunities for progress. In the first four verses of the chapter, how do you know what they are? Or I could ask this, how do you become aware of the need to progress or to make progress? Well, sometimes you have to progress to eliminate a problem. Now, in this passage of Scripture, what was the problem that needed to be eliminated? Verse 1. The sons of the prophet come to Elisha, and they say to Elisha, "Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us." We're running into a problem with room. It's just getting too tight in here. Listen, sometimes God uses good problems to help us know we need to progress. Remember, they are living in a day of moral and spiritual decline. People are leaving the Lord God. Believe me, being a prophet was anything but fashionable. And people are walking away in this time of tremendous decline, and yet God was calling out and touching men's lives and saying, "I want you to follow me and serve me as a prophet. I'm touching your heart." And so the men are coming and they're running out of room. See, sometimes God brings good problems and it says, "Hey, something needs to change." Sometimes God brings bad problems. And those bad problems say, you learn, "Hey, something in my life has to change." So sometimes to progress, you have to eliminate a problem. Sometimes to progress, you have to progress to exercise your calling. What was the calling that God gave the prophet Elisha? I just told you the answer. He was called to be a prophet. Remember, he followed the great prophet Elijah. Elijah was taken up and Elijah's mantle falls and Elisha picks up the mantle. He takes up the mantle. That was his primary calling. But God gave Elisha another calling. And that is to work with these sons of the prophets to prepare another generation to help these men to fulfill the calling God gave them to be a prophet in their generation. And sometimes God lets you know that he has a calling for you, and for you to be able to fulfill the calling and exercise the calling that God gives you, you realize that as things are, we can't do that. And so something has to change. Sometimes God helps us to know that we need to progress to expand capacity. The place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us. We need some more room. If we don't expand, we're going to limit our capacity. And sometimes God does that in your life. And then sometimes we need to progress to enable capability. Just think, God is sending men. Just think, what would happen if these men could become prophets that stood for truth and proclaimed truth? Just think of the people that could be touched. But unless something changes, we won't be able to have that kind of an impact. And their impact will be limited. So sometimes in your life, God makes you aware of the need to progress. And I wonder if God is doing that to you in your life. And when I ask you, are you making progress even today? Maybe that struck a chord because God is already working in your life that things need to change and he wants to move you into other things. He has so much more he has for you in your life. And he's working on you and you realize something has to change. And the reality is that you are now aware of the need and you can begin to make progress. But then there's another question to ask, and that is, when do you know it's time to make progress? I'm going to ask the wisest among us, and that's our young people. for some input here. Now, I'm being silly, but I really am asking young people for some input. Let's say here's this teenager, you know, and you have a really big ask that you want to ask your mom and dad about. It's a really, really big ask. And you have been working for weeks on this. Because, okay, and man, you are really trying to do the good thing at home. You're building a lot of goodwill, right? Because you got a big ask coming. And you know it's going to come. This is a big one. And so you are working on this for weeks and you've rehearsed it in your mind and you've gone through it, what you're going to say and how it's going to be. You have it all planned out in your mind and you decide that tomorrow night I am going to ask my mom and dad. Tomorrow comes and you realize that your mom or dad has had one of those no good, terrible, rotten, horrible days where nothing goes right. They are upset. And when they're upset, everybody's upset. You just know. Now, let me ask, here's my question for you. How many of you think this is the right time to make that really big ask? How many of you say it's probably better to wait another time? How many of you say, yeah, yeah. See, you're wise. At times, timing is everything. And so it is that these sons of the prophets, when they ask Elisha a really big ask, they give us some real help to know when the right time is. And when God is opening that door and when it is time to follow Him in this way. Let me give you three words that will help you that we're going to learn from these sons of the prophets. To know when the right time is to take that next step to progress. Here's the first word. The first word is the word initiate. Everything God does begins somewhere. Oh, it really begins in the heart of God, and God begins to work in the lives of people and make them aware of the need. And in this record, who took the initiative to get the ball rolling on this new dorm project for the school? Who was it? Verse 1. The sons of the prophets. And they take the initiative. And they realize things are getting tight. I mean, it used to be we were really comfortable in our school. Everything was okay. But then these guys are coming and, man, we're happy to make room for them. But, man, I don't have as much space as I used to have. And, you know, we had the extra room, the prophet's chamber, where when Elisha comes by, he wasn't there all the time. He came through to the different schools at different times in addition to carrying out his prophetic ministry in that northern kingdom. And so the prophet's chamber, when Elisha, we move guys into his room. And then whenever he comes here, we got to get him out of his room because he needs his space. And then they're making it crowded. And then some of these guys are getting married. And we got to figure out where the married guys are going to go. And some of those married guys have children and they keep having children and we got to figure out where they're going to go. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? So with the need, they take the initiative. They ask Elisha, hey, things are getting tight. So how do you know when it's time? Well, when you identify a need. And then after you identify a need, then identify a solution. Verse 2, they say to Elisha, let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. See, if you can identify a need, then you have to identify this. What's the solution? How many of you know there are all kinds of people that can identify needs? But the people that make things happen in life are the people that identify solutions. So if you identify a need, beside initiating seeing the need, would you initiate a solution to your need? And then, after you initiate a solution, can I give you another word of advice, really, from these sons of the prophets? Would you then volunteer to be part of the solution? Did you see this? Hey, let us go build. We're going to go and we'll fell the trees. We will build. How many of you know there are plenty of people that have an idea? They see a need. They see a solution, but they're waiting on you to solve their problem. Oh, yeah, it is. We like to see things happen. We want to be part of something, but we're waiting on you to do it. No, no, no. Initiative, you see this need. Offer a solution and be willing to be part of it. How many of y'all know that's really good advice for life? When God is working, you know it's time when things begin to happen. It all starts with someone taking the initiative. Initiate. Here's a second word for you. The second word beside initiate is validate. So the initiative is taken. This begins to roll. But then whenever God is leading, you don't want to get ahead of God. You want to do, don't want to do something outside of God's will. And so you begin to validate. Is this really what God would have? And so you ascertain this by asking some questions. You ask yourself, is this a good idea or a bad idea? Okay, is it a good idea by principle? See, people that follow God's dreams are people that always begin with principle. You live by principle. That's where everything starts. Then you ask, okay, God, are you validating this by principle? Are you validating this by practicality? There are some things that are just so far beyond the realm of practicality that it's just not God's time, or what? It's just not God's time, right? And then you always want to ask this. You validate this by precedent. Because when you make a decision, you have to think not just about the decision I make for the moment, but down the road, if this is the precedent we set, will we regret down the road that we made this decision today, right? You have to think ahead. All right. So you validate, is this a good idea or a bad idea? Then after that, here's another thing to validate. You want to validate, is this a good idea or God's idea? Because not every good idea is God's idea at this time. Now, how do I know what is a good idea and the difference between what's just a good idea and a God idea? One is you ask yourself and ask you, do you have a passion for it? Because if you aren't passionate about this, when things get difficult and it becomes tedious, you won't have the passion to follow through. Do you have a passion for it? Another thing you want to ask is this. Are you prepared for it? Are you really ready for this? Do you have the people for it? It may be in your company there. Do you have the people for it? Do you have the people around you? Whatever it is that needs to happen. Are there people that God has there in your life to be part of it? And then there's another question that is important as well. And that is, can you trust God to provide for it? Because here's what I think this is what you need to know. You need to know that when God is moving, God calls us to live by faith. And with all that is done in preparation and all that goes into anything, there are times when you just have to realize that there are things that God will call you to do, and you have to believe that God will take care of what He will take care of when He needs to take care of it. And you don't have to see everything. If you wait until everything is laid out perfectly before you begin to follow the Lord, and you wait until every detail of my plan is all taken care of, my friend, you will never progress. You're going to be exactly where you are 3 years from now. And you'll wonder, why is it I'm where I am? Because at some point, you just have to be willing to trust God and go forward. With all that you do, trust God and go forward. So sometimes then you validate, is it a good idea or bad idea? Is it a good idea or is it God's idea? And then you want to ask, is it God's idea at this time? You see, it may be a good idea, but a bad time. There may have been a son of the prophet that months ago said, you know, it'd be nice if we could maybe have another building. But they didn't need it. It was so comfortable. Things got tight. And now it was time. And now God was preparing on all of that. You know, it may be a good idea, but a bad time. And you know, God may be in your idea, but preparing you for it. So you are planting a seed that may take time to grow. And you are wise when you plant that seed and you let God water and grow that seed and take that idea and bring it into the time when you know this is His idea. It's His time. And then there's another question to validate your what God is doing, and that is, do the spiritual authorities in my life buy in, or at the very least understand? You see, God puts people in our lives. We all live under authority. And I am not in any way taking away from the priesthood of the believer. That's the teaching, that when I come to Christ as an individual, I have a personal relationship with God, and God works with me personally and directs me personally. But God also brings people into my life that are authorities that He uses in my life. And I tell you what, those authorities don't always have to fully agree, because even the best of us can't see everything with the best of intention. But boy, how often when God is in it and it's His time, does God bring all of this together? Oh. And so they say to Elisha, hey, Elisha, here's our idea. And what's he say in verse 2? Go ye. Yeah, let's do it. So God then validates what He is doing. And it takes us to the third word that will guide you to know when it's time. And that third word is cooperate. It takes willing partners and working partners. So the men offered to help and they took the initiative, and the Lord brought Elijah to agree and gives them validation that this is what God wants to do and it's time. And then I want you to notice what happens in verse 3 and then verse 4. And he said, that's one of the sons of the prophets, be content. Hey, hold on a second, I pray thee, listen. And go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. And so he went with them. And when they came to Jordan, they cut down the wood. And it is wonderful whenever God brings things together and you absolutely know this is what God is doing and this is the right time. God just brings all of this together. Aren't you glad that it's not left up to your wisdom? Because I promise you, I gave up on intelligence a long time ago, but I promise you, God is far wiser than you and me put together. And I am so grateful to leave big things like this just to say to the Lord, Lord, would you show us? And He'll do it. He'll do it. All right. So when God is working to make progress, He brings opportunities for progress. Well, things were going great. I mean, they are building and everything is going great until verse 5 happens. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. Boy, can't you see this guy? I mean, he's got his axe going. He is going. He is chopping wood. I mean, he is letting it go. And he's ready to make a mighty blow, and he pulls back his axe handle, and there it goes. I'm going to tell you, when you dare to follow God's call and you're ready to take steps of progress, there are always going to be obstacles for progress. Yes, there are opportunities, but there are always going to be obstacles for progress. Now, any of you that has had to split wood, any of you that have had to do that, how many of y'all know what I'm talking about? That you can really feel for that guy. And you're I can tell stories about splitting wood, but I'm not going to tell stories about splitting wood. We're going to keep moving. But boy, there are obstacles. Now, those obstacles at times are unintended. He never thought about it. I mean, he just barred the axe. He is cutting wood. He is cutting wood. And there it goes. There are times in your life when there are things that happen that you do not intend. It's going to get in the way of your progress, right? Now, expect that there are going to be things that are unexpected. If you're going to dare to follow God's call and you say, God is dealing with my life. There are things in my life that need to change. I need to move ahead. God wants to do things in my life. You need to know there are going to be obstacles. And there are things that you didn't intend. God knows about, but you didn't intend. Sometimes those obstacles are unintentional. Sometimes those obstacles seem insurmountable. Practically, this axe head becomes irretrievable. Now, Jericho is 5 miles from the Jordan River in what's called the Jordan Plain. But Jericho is 8 miles from where the Jordan River dumps into the Dead Sea. It is the last of 8 sections of the Jordan River. It flows through the Jericho Plain. Now all the silt from the north has come through. There are wadis and tributaries that go into the Jordan River. And this last portion of the Jordan is muddy and mucky. How many of you have ever swam in a muddy, mucky river or a muddy, mucky lake? How many of you ever swam in a lake? All right. Now, those of you that have swam in such a place, how many of you know what that is? When that thing goes into that deep mud and mucky water, how many of you know there is no way you're going to find that thing? Wow. That seems insurmountable. Boy, he had a real problem. Practically, he had a problem. Legally, he had a problem. Take your Bible and go with me to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 22. Exodus chapter 22 tells us of God's law of restitution. When you borrow something and something goes wrong, what do you do? Exodus 22, look in your Bible, verse 14. And if a man borrow aught or anything of his neighbor, and it be hurt, you break it. Or if it's an animal, you hurt the animal. Or if it's an animal, if it die. I've borrowed some things from people and they've been. I remember when I borrowed a battery charger from Pastor Malloy. And it died. Why? So I guess it's not just animals that can die. His old battery charger died. Here's what you do. The owner thereof, being not with it, he shall surely make it good. Do you know what that means? It means this. You're borrowing something. If it's a living thing, it dies. If it's a working thing, it dies. You break it. Responsibility. I broke it. It's on me. And you make it right. Restitution. It makes sense? You break it. Responsibility. It's on me. I'll do whatever it takes to make it right. So here's a man that is borrowing the axe. And now it's lost. And oh man, I've got to do this. I've got to replace it. But wait a minute. It's a financial problem too. Because it's not like you just go to the hardware store and pick one up off the shelf. Things aren't cheap. Expensive. I can't afford this. If I had the money, I would have bought my own anyway. Bring your own axe to the building program. I can't afford it. I had to borrow and beg to get it. boy, this seems insurmountable. He's asking himself, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Now, how many of you know in your life God brings you to what am I going to do moments? There are obstacles. What am I going to do? You're going to follow what God wants in your life. You're trying to make progress in your life. And you come to what am I going to do moments? Well, what are you going to do? Well, those become opportunities for progress as you face the obstacles for progress. But I want to tell you, when you reach those what am I going to do moments, there's some good news for you, and that is there is empowering for progress. If you're taking notes or have your note form with you, the empowering for progress. Watch what God does when this young man is at a point where he doesn't know what he's going to do, and it's way out of his control. 2 Kings again, chapter 6, look at verse 6. And the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick, and he cast it in thither or there, and the iron did swim. You know, there are some that don't accept the supernatural work of God in the Bible and say, well, what he did was he cut down this branch and he reached in there and he fished out that axe head and pulled it up. That takes more faith to believe than to believe that God just did it. No, no, no. Miraculous. When you're at that what am I going to do moment, God is a God that then intervenes. Do you know that's where you are maybe in your life? You need God to intervene. God is working and he's helping you to progress. And now when you reach this point, God needs to step in and do what you can't do and give you power you don't have. Because it takes faith to believe that God will intervene when I need him to intervene. Sometimes he intervenes with his timing. Sometimes he intervenes by moving hearts that we cannot move. Sometimes God provides resources. Sometimes God shuts doors to keep us from taking a step that he wouldn't want us to take. Sometimes God opens doors. In all the ways God brings it to bear, God always, never early, never late, but he intervenes and he helps. And when you feel like, what am I going to do? And you just don't know, I'm going to tell you that God is a God that will step in. He'll give you what you need. So there are opportunities for progress. And then there are obstacles for progress or to progress. And then there's empowering for progress. But if you're going to dare to follow God's call and make progress in your life, here's what else you need to know. And that is the obligation for progress. Because I'm going to tell you, this is the difference between people who progress and people who 3 years from now will be exactly where you are. This is the difference. Here's the obligation. Look at verse 7, if you would. Therefore said he, that's Elisha, take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. You see, God works and intervenes. He makes you aware and he brings the resources so that now what is before you is clear. He makes the, I'm going to put it this way, he makes your axe head float. But while he does all of this, you don't experience the blessing of progressing, even when he miraculously works, until you pick it up and take it and do it. God is working in your life, and it's time for you to pick it up and go. And how many people how many people God works in their life and miraculously intervenes and brings them to points. They don't even see the significance of it. And He's making their axe head float. The opportunity is right there. And they just don't pick it up. Maybe there's fear. Maybe it's doubt. It may be that there are things they don't want to let go of in order to make the progress that God could do and experience what God has for them. It may be that they're just so afraid of what someone else would think. It may be that they just, in their own faith, that they just can't imagine a future that God might have. And so they just let it go. And when God makes your axe head float, don't miss the opportunity. Do you have any axe heads floating? And God just put it there. Here's the opportunity. Pick it up. You don't know the Lord as Savior yet. And He's bringing. You see that Christ, the Lord God, is all that you need. He's the one who died and rose again. He's provided all that can be done. You see the reality of your sin. And His salvation is offered. And it's like the axe head is floating. Pick it up and receive Him and be saved. If you know the Lord and you've put your trust in Him and now you're following the Lord, He's working. Don't miss the opportunity. He's making the axe head float. Pick it up. Now, why was this young man, when his axe head flew off his handle, why was he so upset? Did you notice why he was so upset? Alas, my master, for it is borrowed. Do you realize that every opportunity God gives you in your life is borrowed? It comes from His gracious hand. Would you be a wise steward? And when He makes your axe head float, would you pick it up? Would you stand with me and we'll bow for prayer?